So my task is to review the treatments for pulmonary arterial hypertension, and I'm facilitated in this task by the number of randomized control trials that has been performed in this field in the past 15 years, including close to 9,000 PAH patients. And this is a remarkable achievement if we consider the prevalence of pulmonary arterial hypertension patients, which is predicted as 50 patients per million of the general population. So 39 randomized control studies, and interestingly enough, they tested the different treatment strategies. And this is color-coded slide that you see. Randomized control studies with monotherapy, only one class of drugs, or randomized control therapies with both monotherapy and sequential combination therapy. And recently, we have also studies on initial upfront combination therapy. As you know, there are three classes of approved drugs in pulmonary arterial hypertension: endothelin receptor antagonist, phosphodiesterase type 5 inhibitors, and prostanoids. So what about monotherapy? Obviously, the trial started with monotherapy, and in the majority of the studies, the primary endpoint was 6-minute walking distance. So in individual studies, it was difficult to analyze the effect on outcome. And this is why we performed a meta-analysis of studies with monotherapy, including the first 25 randomized control trials and close to 4,000 patients. And interestingly enough, we identify a risk reduction for all-cause mortality of 44%, which is remarkable if we consider the period of time is 3 to 4 months after the initiation of therapy. So the drugs are effective. And in fact, in the algorithm in 2004, already the three classes of drugs were included. What was missing, though, was combination therapy. It is effective to combine drugs in pulmonary arterial hypertension, like we have seen, for example, in asthma. So, also in this case, we performed a meta-analysis on sequential combination therapy. Just to inform you about the type of sequential combination therapy we apply, so we can utilize a first drug. And if we have unsatisfactory clinical status or deterioration, we can add a drug B. So this is a combination based on clinical judgment. However, more recently, we have applied sequential combination therapy with the so-called goal-oriented treatment strategy. So goal-oriented means that we assess an inadequate response based on pre-specified goals and evaluation period. So we establish to, for example, reassess the patients after 3-4 months according to the symptoms, exercise capacity, or parameters which assess right ventricular function, like the plasma level of NT-proBNP, or echocardiographic parameters, or hemodynamic parameters. So this is a more complex system to apply sequential combination therapy. And as you can see here in red, we included in a meta-analysis 10 studies with sequential combination therapy, including close to 3,000 patients. What we found? We found that also with sequential combination therapy, there were, as compared at this point to monotherapy, so this is not controlled with placebo. In monotherapy studies, the control was placebo. In sequential combination therapy, the control arm was a group treated with monotherapy. And also, in this case, we confirmed an improvement of clinical worsening in the general meta-analysis. And when we assessed size of the improvement, it was a reduction of 51% of clinical worsening. Usually, clinical worsening includes all-cause mortality, hospitalization, and progression of the disease. And when we assessed individually these three components, we couldn't reach the statistical significance. The reduction was for mortality 18%, for hospitalization 41%, and for progression of the and for combination of mortality and hospitalization was 43%. However, when we disaggregated the data, this was not statistically significant. Why? Because probably the number of the study is still small. So we need to analyze precisely the first study in which morbid mortality was the primary endpoint, so not anymore 6-minute walking distance. And this is the Serafin study, testing the long-term efficacy and safety of macitentan, which is a new generation endothelin receptor antagonist. And this is the design of the study, so three arms, placebo, macitentan 3 milligrams, and macitentan 10 milligrams. And the study was analyzed when 285 events were achieved. And as I told you, for events, we consider mortality, hospitalization, and progression of the disease. But interestingly enough, when we analyze the subgroup of patients already treated, we demonstrated that the addition of macitentan in patients already treated with sildenafil prevented deterioration, so reduced the clinical worsening as compared to patients treated only with sildenafil. So this is the first demonstration of an improvement of long-term outcome with combination therapy in a single study. But what is also important to notice for macitentan is the safety, because you remember that the class effect for endothelin receptor antagonist is an increase of liver enzyme. This is why monthly we have to assess those parameters. But for macitentan, as you can see, the increase of liver enzyme more than 3 times upper the normal limit is lower as compared to placebo. Probably this is due to preservation for heart failure. So no direct hepatotoxicity for macitentan. And then now we have also an additional study which primary endpoint is morbid mortality. As you know, the first class of drugs approved in pulmonary arterial hypertension are the prostanoids. The prostanoids have a difficult pharmacokinetic, so the way to administer is continuous intravenous, and this needs intravenous central venous catheter tunnelized, or subcutaneous, or inhaled. And for each of these ways of administration, there are pros and cons. So Griffon tested the efficacy of an oral medication, which is not a prostanoid, but is a stimulator of the prostanoids receptors, which is Selexipag. And this drug has been tested with the largest study performed yet in pulmonary arterial hypertension. So Selexipag is an oral IP receptor prostacyclin agonist, has high affinity and selectivity for the IP receptors. And in this study, again, the primary endpoint was morbid mortality, and the sample size was close to 1,100 patients. This the structure was more simple, placebo group, but placebo means that the patients could take endothelin receptor antagonist or PDE5 inhibitors or both. So the 80% of the patients were treated with monotherapy or combination therapy, and selexipag was titrated to the highest oral tolerated dose, and this was from 200 to 1600 microgram twice a day. So this is the primary endpoint. The study is not yet published, is on the way of being evaluated, so we cannot present the details of the study, but as you can see here, the addition of selexipag to background therapy with endothelin receptor antagonist or PDE5 inhibitors or both reduced the risk for morbid mortality by 40% as compared to placebo in patients already treated with background therapy as above. So very interesting molecules which now we need to include in the treatment algorithm. A third study which has been presented and will be published very soon in the European Respiratory Journal is the COMPASS 2. COMPASS 2 is not probably adequately sized study which tested the effect of the addition of bosentan, already approved drug, on patients already treated with sildenafil. And apparently there is no difference as compared to placebo in outcome. While the study was positive for the increasing of 6-minute walking distance. So there is a lot of debate around this study because the most popular current combination is bosentan and sildenafil worldwide. So probably the study was not well conducted and probably the sample size is small. So we analyzed the experience in the center of Bologna, and this study, the combination real world, is already published online on the European Respiratory Journal, and we analyzed 192 patients, including idiopathic, congenitals, and connective tissue disease. These patients were not responding to initial monotherapy, either with bosentan or sildenafil. So we combined, and this is the result of combination. As you can see, after 3 to 4 months of combination, the number of patients with advanced functional class is reduced, the 6-minute walking distance is improved, the right atrial pressure is reduced, mean pulmonary arterial pressure is reduced, cardiac index is increased, and pulmonary vascular resistance is reduced. So this combination, at least in this mid-term, is effective. And this is the overall survival of this population up to 5 years, which is 60%, which is remarkable if you consider that this is a population which is not responding to monotherapy. So combination therapy is effective in the real world. There is not a control group, but the experience in the field seems appropriate. So now we have seen the evolution of the algorithms. This is the algorithm of the guidelines of 2009, and the second is the algorithm proposed at the 5th World Meeting in Nice. The difference is the upgrading of combination therapy. Now, the grade of combination therapy is 1A, so it's recommended with the high level of evidence. So this is very important. The other characteristics of the last algorithm is the highlighting of the drugs in which we are sure that there is a long-term benefit on outcome, and the two drugs are macitentan and epoprostenol, because still we need invasive prostanoids, intravenous prostanoid like epoprostenol. Now there is thermostable formulation is the final resort that we utilize when the patient is not responding anymore to combination therapy. And then the last concept, initial combination therapy. So in asthma or in other disease, you don't start only with monotherapy. You start with combination therapy. And why don't do this also in PAH? So this has been explored since the beginning. We have a study on combination, on upfront combination, the BREATHE-2, which was performed more than 10 years ago, showing that patients treated with bosentan and epoprostenol had better hemodynamic results as compared to the patients treated with epoprostenol alone. More recently, there have been additional data showing that upfront combination, again, epoprostenol and bosentan, reduce more pulmonary vascular resistance. And now we have triple combination therapy, bosentan, sildenafil, and epoprostenol upfront in very severe patients. And in this small study, you see the improvement of exercise capacity, the reduction of mean pulmonary arterial pressure, the increase of cardiac index, and the reduction of pulmonary vascular resistance. So this is another important concept, and the study who tested this hypothesis is the AMBITION study, which was presented last year, testing the comparison between endothelin receptor antagonist plus PDE5 inhibitors simultaneously initiated with monotherapy. And this is the primary endpoint. Also in this case, there is a reduction of time to clinical failure as compared to patients treated with monotherapy. So to summarize what we have learned from randomized control studies is that we have different possibilities, and different possibilities can be applied to different types of patients. For example, we know very well that monotherapy is able to reduce the short-term mortality, the meta-analysis I've shown you, and improve long-term outcomes. And this is derived from the Serafin study with macitentan and the Griffon study with selexipag in incident, newly diagnosed patients, or prevalent patients already treated. Sequential combination therapy is able to improve short-term, and this is due to the meta-analysis, and long-term, and this is, again, Serafin and Griffon, outcomes in prevalent PAH patients. So these are the patients not responding to monotherapy. Initial combination therapy, so two drugs together, is able to improve long-term outcomes compared with monotherapy, and this is the AMBITION study, in treatment-naive incident PAH patients. So new information, and all this information have been utilized, but this task force is a joint task force between the European Society of Cardiology and the European Respiratory Society, which have developed the new guidelines for pulmonary hypertension, which will be presented in London at the ESC meeting and then also in the ERS meeting. So how we combine all this information? We had the discussion, not peaceful, but at the end we got an agreement. But unfortunately, I cannot present you the agreement because there is an embargo. So we invite you to the ESC meeting in London to see which is the new algorithm, which are the new indication for different types of PAH patients. Thank you.